This is the TSG Multimedia Podcast for October of 2023. We're sponsored this month by Podomatic and the TSG Train Crew on Patreon. Thank you very much. I'm your host, John, and this is the longest-running train-related podcast that I'm aware of, going strong since January of 2010. I had hoped that September might be a bit more relaxed than the rest of the summer, but it ended up being extremely busy, including some video shoots, railroad events, a few op sessions, and more. So I'm just going to jump right in here. I'm doing something today. I'm down here at the SBHRS, and I'm going to meet my friend Robin here, who has a very interesting N-scale model. So let's go to that now. Here I am with the guy. You may remember Robin. He's been on the channel before with a Canon car, military train, and a McKean car.
Right.
And a lot of, I think we've shown some sort of a preview of the unusual flat car loads that you also do. But
yeah,
one of the things I really appreciate about Robin is that he does a lot of unusual stuff. And you know, I love to share things you don't see every day.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's what this is going to be. So
that's what I like about modeling, is doing things that are unique that nobody else has really done before. It's just what I get out of the hobby.
Right. Everybody likes it for different reasons. And that's what you have. So what do you have to show us
here? Well, what I have today is at the NSE N-Scale Convention in Reno this last June, there was a vendor called TR Trains who was selling these 3D printed Pacific Electric steeple cabs. It's a unique steeple cab that only PE had one of them only. They bought it from somebody else years before. And it's an awfully small steeple cab. And he also was selling kits to convert a Microtrains N-scale 40-foot boxcar to be a power car. You put a power drive in it. And there's a Pacific Electric also took SP cabooses. It removed the cupolas because the cupola would be very close to the overhead wire, and you sure don't want the conductor to be be shorted.
That could be an electrifying experience.
Yes, it could.
You might even call it shocking.
But TR Trains had kits to convert all three of the different things, and that's what I've done over the last few months. And I think it came out pretty neat.
I've never seen one of these before.
No.
And I think that's cool. I think we should do a standalone video about this in the near future. What do you think of that?
I think that would be a great idea.
That's it from the SBHRS. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Okay, so it's a little while later, and now I'm really done at the SBHRS. What I didn't show you was after I was finished with Robin doing the bit on his steeple cab, I have my new drone with me that I mentioned I had bought in last month's podcast. And one of the projects we've wanted to do here for a long time is have maps of the layouts inside. And we couldn't find anyone who can draw these maps. So I thought, well, what if I took pictures from overhead? Because it's a pretty high ceiling in there. So I've spent the last, 45 minutes taking photos overhead of both layouts that we can hopefully, piece them together with Photoshop or something, and turn that into the layout maps or layout diagrams for the SBHRS. So now I'm really done here, and I'll talk to you soon. Hi, so we're doing something train related today. I'm standing at a place called Ardenwood Historic Farm, and they have an annual event here called Rail Fair. And that's what we're here for today. I'm gonna do some coverage of it here for the podcast. And just want to mention that this is one of the best railroad related events in the Bay Area. They do it every year over Labor Day weekend. And Sydney and I sometimes will volunteer here, usually for their Halloween train, which is a huge fundraiser for the SPCRR. The SPCRR is the Society for the Preservation of Carter Railroad Resources. Carter Brothers was a railroad equipment manufacturer here, or I should say close by, and the play on words, SPCRR, is that was also the South Pacific Coast Railroad whose tracks ran through here. So there's a lot of tie-ins to this place. with local railroad history. So let's go look. I'm standing in front of what's called the Patterson House. This is an old Victorian house that has stood here for a long time. And this is one of the attractions here at Ardenwood Historic Farm. It's really the farmhouse where the people who lived here lived when this was originally a farm back in the day. And I say originally a farm, it's actually still a farm. This is still a working farm, but this is a landmark now. It's not occupied by anybody. And during events like this, they'll have people from the Historic Foundation who maintain this property give tours of it. And it's quite interesting to go look inside and see, kind of get an idea of how people lived back in the previous centuries. So another one of those things that's here at Ardenwood. If you come to Railfair, it's worth taking a look at this as well. So now I'm inside car 472. This is a boxcar that's been rebuilt here, and now it serves as a museum. And you can learn all about the local history and the place that built cars like this, Carter Brothers, that I mentioned earlier. This is inside the Ardenwood Train Depot, where they also have a lot more information. Everywhere you look at this place, there's little sort of mini museums that have information about the historic farm and what they do here now and what they did here in the past. So it's a very interesting place to visit if you're in the area and have time. Definitely recommended. This is an example of one of those times where you never know who you'll run into. This is John Erdkamp, and he's actually from Greeley, Colorado. And, right, and knows Michelle, which we all know.
Hi, Michelle.
Right, we all know Michelle. Hi, Michelle. And he volunteers here. And the last time I saw you, we were doing the Golden Spike out here last year for the loop.
Correct.
And you, right, and he had these pins, well, coins, really, made to commemorate the Golden Spike event of the loop out here, which I thought was a pretty cool thing. Why don't you tell people who you are and what your job is here today?
Well, my name's John Erdkamp. I lived in Greeley, Colorado, and worked at the Colorado Railroad Museum in Greeley, Colorado for about 10 years. And then I moved to California, and I found this place, Ardenwood Historic Farm. And they have a recreation of the South Pacific Coast Railroad. And these boxcars, one of them is depicted behind me here, was built at this location in around 1880. And then this car traveled all over California and Nevada. And then we found it, rescued it, brought it back home, put it back together again. And now it's a fully functional car. And we love to show it off at special events.
And you're actually the one who's showing people this car at this special event.
Correct.
So thanks for volunteering here.
You're very welcome. We spent about a couple years restoring the mechanics of this car. We spent a whole summer repainting this car.
Right. This is the one that I was in a few minutes ago when I was showing you the inside of the box car. So anyway, that's what we're doing here. And thanks for taking a minute to talk with us.
Thanks for coming.
All right. This is another one of the attractions here at Railfair. They have a narrow gauge track. It's a 3-foot gauge track, and they run a train here. Now, this track actually goes all the way to the front where we were a little while ago, but for the event, they just run it over here. Behind where I'm standing, there's actually a big loop, which if you look on this channel, you can find our Golden Spike dedication when they opened that loop last year. So I'm just waiting for the train to come, and I'll take a video of it, and then I think we're going to ride it.
This is one of those things that a lot of people don't even know it's here. One of the really interesting things about this track here is that they used to run a horse-drawn train here. And that one must have been something to see. But anyway, now that we are done with the train ride, we're going to go look at some of the farm animals and see what's happening in that main area where all the activity tends to be every year. There's one of the cows. I'm not sure if these cows that are here are used for it or not, but that might be a hamburger in training right there. Did I mention this is a working farm? Lots of farm equipment here.
Did you see when he walked up to it? It was smiling.
So this is inside one of the barns here. They have this display of things people used to do on farms. And this particular display, I believe, normally has people in it showing you what they did. So they'll probably be out here at specific times demonstrating. Again, another activity would be especially fun for kids to see how things used to be. Also housed in this barn are these old tractors that are in very good condition. Over there you can see some farm implements, as well as over here. So there's quite a bit to look at just in this barn alone. And then out here in this courtyard, you can see it's getting pretty full here, but they have a couple of garden scale railroad goops that come every year. This is the Diablo Pacific Short Line, and they set up this modular portable thing. And then over there in the middle, behind this, where you can see those two white tents, they have the live steamers. We'll go over and take a look at those real quick. This is labeled as the Patterson Family Garage from 1910. And look at these vehicles in here. I've never seen this open before. How cool is that? I couldn't tell you what they are, but they look pretty old. Oh, wait, I can tell you what they are. Look, it's a Moreland. That's what it is. They don't make those anymore. And so we end up where we started off, in front of that water tower. Once again, it's a great event. Today is Saturday. Saturdays tend, I think, to be a little bit less busy, although it's pretty crowded here. Sundays tend to be the really busy day. So if you have a chance next year, Labor Day weekend, come out to Ardenwood and go to Rail Fair. There's so much to see here, and it's especially good for kids. So that's it from Ardenwood, and I'm signing off. Hi, we're doing something train related today. It's just a quick little excursion out to a place that I've recorded many times now. And we're going to try to catch the Coast Starlight Train 11. That's the southbound Coast Starlight. And the reason why, well, a couple reasons why, is I want to try out the drone that I got last month. And the other reason is I suspect that the Operation Lifesaver unit might be leading it, because they've been running that unit up and down the coast for the past few runs. And the last time it came through here, I think, was the day before yesterday. So I think that means it should, if they just turned around in Seattle and sent it south again, it might be leading the train today, or at least in the power consist. So It's on time, and it's sitting down in San Jose. Where we are is about a 10 or 15 minute drive for them from the station in San Jose. So we're just hanging out here until it shows up, and we'll see what we catch. Either way, it'll still be a good catch because the light is really nice today. As you can see, it wasn't the locomotive that I hoped it would be. Maybe tomorrow the Operation Lifesaver unit will come through. I really don't know. I don't know what their schedule is. And I have some website on my computer that I could check it on. And the website that I have to check it on was the one that said it was in Washington a couple days ago. But, you know, whatever. It was still a cool shot. And got one of those new Siemens locomotives on it. And boy, that thing was going fast, wasn't it? Probably was doing track speed here, which I think is 79. Anyway, that's it for now, and we'll come back when we have something else interesting to talk about. I am doing something today. I'm stuck in traffic in San Jose right now. I'm on my way to my friend Robin's house, where we're going to do a standalone video about the steeple cab that we looked at a little bit earlier this month. It's an N-scale Pacific Electric Railroad steeple cab, and you saw it a few minutes ago, actually. But it's a really cool project, and it's something that I don't think I've ever seen before, in N-scale especially. So we're going to go do that today, and it should be good. On my way there, I'm stopping in at the Santa Clara Depot at the tower to see if I can catch the Coast Starlight. You know, the one I caught yesterday? Well, who knows? If 203, which is the Operation Lifesaver P-42DC, was sent back south on the Coast Starlight route, it should be here today, since it wasn't here yesterday. My sense is that it's probably not coming back, and I've missed it, which is fine, because I'll just catch it some other time. But I'm really hoping that they have it on there. I checked all my sources today, and I couldn't find any information saying that it is there. So we'll just have to see. So as you can see, the Operation Lifesaver unit wasn't on the Coast Starlight again. So I think I'm just going to have to wait, catch it some other time. But now I'm at my friend Robin's house. Hi, Robin. And we're going to shoot a video about Robin's steeple cab that we showed briefly at the depot on this podcast. So that ought to be fun. What do you think? I'm asking you, Robin.
Oh, me? Oh.
Yeah, what do you think?
I'm going to enjoy it. Yeah.
We always have fun shooting here.
Yeah, it's fun.
Uh-huh. All right, it's a little later, and I just finished logging all the footage from my adventure today. And I just wanted to say that I'm really bummed out that the Operation Lifesaver P-42DC didn't come back down the coastline today. I don't really know where it is now. The website I look at online doesn't have any updates more recent than 3 days ago, and it was up in Washington 3 days ago. Anyway, you had a great shoot with Robin, and I'm really looking forward to sharing his steeple cab. I think that Robin's models are pretty unusual, and it's, you know, I like to show things that you don't see every day, and his little projects like the steeple cab or the McKean car or the cannon that we've shown in the past are pretty unusual. So anyway, that's it for today, and I'm sure I'll catch you on the next update. On the 20th, we went live talking trains. This episode was guest co-hosted by my friend James Regeer again. Thanks for taking the time to join me, James. And we were joined by the NMRA's new social media manager, Lucy Dormont, to talk about her experience creating a railroad history nonprofit in Meridian, Mississippi, as well as her new role with the NMRA. That was followed by a discussion about 3D design and printing, since that's something James is heavily into. As a matter of fact, he sells his prints directly, as well as through mini prints in Canada. This show is definitely worth checking out on the replay if you missed us live. Hi, we're doing something train related today. You may recognize this building behind me. This is a layout. It's Dave Lovelace's R&D. It's an HO scale layout that's built for operations. We're doing an op session. We had an op session last weekend that I didn't come on here to talk about, but we're here today and it should be fun. It's always a good time here.
Yeah, they do work pretty nice.
You can actually see what you're doing, huh?
Yeah, but it doesn't quite fit between the couplers.
Yeah. I'm not that good at uncoupling. I think maybe you have to sharpen the tip a little bit.
I might try that. I might.
And here we have the next version. I think this is a Dave original.
The little dental brushes work pretty good, too.
That's right.
Very good.
One of the few things.
Yeah.
But the old Trident 2 stick pin, the pot sticker, does work, you know.
Well, this is kind of an all-star of operating people. Here's Ray Turner from Mystic Mountain. We do the layout tours over, or layout tours. We do the op sessions over at Ray's all the time, too. Thanks for having us over, Ray.
You're welcome.
When we come over.
And here's the magnet version that just took off many of the fine details that were in between those cars.
They weren't good sound in there.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, what if it's a plastic coupler? Wait, we don't use those.
Do the magnets work well?
With a finger.
So this is all the different uncoupling tools you can find
in the world.
Oh, and wait a minute, we have a...
Oh, the brush, yeah.
You know, one that's dual purpose, you know, but we don't want to show that on camera.
What are you usually cleaning your teeth out with that, too?
And it does go in, and it works very nicely with a slight twist.
All right.
If you want more, I'm sure someone will tell you where to buy these.
Uncoupling tips with the professional Jim Ranke.
But this is my favorite.
Okay, guys, this session today, here's my opening speech to the rock with you.
Well done.
That's it?
That's it.
To the rock with you?
Rack.
Rack. I thought I said rock.
Well, maybe I did. I don't know. Well,
come on, try it again so okay. We can cut it out.
To the rock with you!
So my first job here today is, it's pulled randomly out of a box, basically. And I got the job of running the reefer block. So I'm in the yard at Salinas. That's this part of the layout. Picking up my caboose first. And as you can see, I'm going to be running this cab forward across the layout. And I just did something I haven't done here before, which was, seems like a small thing, but it's kind of a cool detail, which is turning the caboose on the turntable so that the marker lights are at the rear of the train. Because the way it was set up, the marker lights were on the wrong side. And what's going to happen is I'm going to come up here. I'm going to leave my caboose on this track so that it will be at the end of the train. And then the friendly yardmaster, Jim, over here. You remember Jim from the coupler exercise we did earlier.
Have you been trying the product already?
I have, and it worked. He's over here pulling the reefers out of where they live with his yard switcher. And we're going to build the train in the yard here. Then I'll take off. And I think I have one stop. I got to check my instructions. But this is a job I have not run on this railroad before.
There's nothing going on.
Is Gary still running?
This is the train that's going to depart Salinas. And I'm going to be picking up more cars in Watsonville. This is going to be a 23-car train, which is pretty long for this layout. I think it's the longest train that goes on this layout. Look, we have a women and model railroading people thing going on. What are you doing?
Nice little switching Watsonville yard. So
switching Watsonville.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about this job, I may have mentioned this before in the past, is that it's a great beginner one because you stay in yard limits the whole time, which means you don't even have to watch for trains on other tracks headed your way or going the other direction. It's all in this little spur, which actually is also based on a prototype.
That's another reason it's so fun.
What is?
That we know the location. So, makes it a little extra fun.
So as jobs go on this layout, this is one of the simpler ones. It's basically running the entire length of the lower level. With just minimal switching, we just had to build the train in the beginning, and I had to pick up some cars kind of in the middle. As you can see from the instruction sheet here, at the end, I have to turn the locomotive on the turntable and rebuild the train basically headed the other direction, including turning the caboose so that the marker lights are on the correct side. So even as kind of a simple job, this job also is fun because there's instructions to do a lot of sort of little extra stuff at the beginning and at the end. So it's not just going from one end to the other with no interest in between. It's going from one end to the other with a bunch of interesting stuff at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. And that's one of the great things about Dave's layout. All the jobs are well thought out this way so that they're fun to do, no matter what they are. And, you know, this is one of those layouts where it's not exactly a plywood Pacific, but it's also not a really finely finished scenic railroad. I don't think it was ever really intended to be. It was intended to be fun for operators, and boy, he's really succeeded at that.
So it's a while later, and I'm doing my, I think this is my third job today. This is the sand train, and this train picks up all these cars up at the sand, I don't know what you call it, quarry, I guess. And runs the entire length of the railroad down to this familiar yard that you saw earlier. I need to route it in on station track number 3, according to the instructions. So here's the entrance to the yard. I'm throwing it to track number 3, which the light apparently doesn't work on that one. And then over here on Dave's layout, we have a switch array here for track power, and the track that you're using is the one that needs to be powered. This is another one of those jobs that seems like, you know, it's a through train kind of, so it seems like it shouldn't be very fun. But it's a lot of fun because you have to build the train where it starts, which means you're picking up all these loads out of the load tracks and you're moving the empties that are staged on some sidings up there back into the loading tracks. So it's really a cool job. And the last part of this job, just like the other one I did earlier, was to turn the locomotive and the caboose on the turntable and remake the train. So basically I'm restaging it as an empty here. Dave already took out the loads. Those are live loads that he's able to take out with a magnet, which I've never seen him do before, but that was pretty cool to see.
So I'll just back this locomotive onto that track, onto the train I just left there, and I'll be done with this job. Lots of fun.
So we carpooled down here with Jim and John today and thought, let's go over to the yard and see if anything's happening. Well, sure enough, here we go. They're switching out a local that's going to leave soon. So we're going to stick around and take a look at that.
Hey, Jim, where's the caboose?
So it's a while later and we're back. It was another wonderful op session. Dave Loveless is a great host. The jobs are a lot of fun. And, well, you know, every time I get the invitation, I always really look forward to it. So thank you very much, Dave, for another great time at your R&D.
All right, so we're doing something today. We're at the SBHRS. Santa Clara Depot, and the PCR, our local division of the PCR, the Coast Division, is having what we call a meet here today. But I wanted to show you this. As you look behind me, you can see this is all brand new deck. And that was one of the reasons you might remember recently, I think it might have even been last month, I was up on a scissor lift down at that end of the depot painting. And part of the reason why is because we wanted to get that painted before this deck went in. Now the deck's going in and it looks amazing. Here's on the other side. You can see why they have this fenced off. It is just torn up. Look at that. I've never seen this like this before. But you can see on the other side, we were just showing how nice that looked. And that's what this is going to look like too.
I've mentioned before that this kind of an event is great because you see people that you've known for a long time, meet new friends, and what's fun to me is that most of the people in this room I already know because we've done layout videos of the layouts they're involved with or layouts that they've built. So it's fun to see friends that way.
All right, so we're just back from the Coast Division meet. And I have to say that they had some great presentations. It was great to catch up with some friends there that we haven't seen in a while and make some plans with other friends that we have seen and are going to see again soon. These division meets are a great way to stay in touch with what's going on with your local region and with your local division of the NMRA, if you're a member. So if you're not a member, I encourage you to become a member and become active in your regional and divisional meets. It's a lot of fun, and there are, at least where I live, there's a lot of really great people in the division. So that's it for now. Signing off.
Hi, we're doing something today. We've driven out to a place called Novato, where there's a layout called the Central Vermont Layout. This is owned by a guy named Paul Weiss. I've been here before in the 2019 Bay Area and Layout Design Operations Weekend, SIG Meet, as we call it.
and it was under construction at that time. And this is the first time we're going to operate here. I'm pretty excited about it because it's a really ops-based layout, hardcore. I've been reading the rule book. It's timetable and train order. They're very serious about their operations here, so it should be a lot of fun and should be a learning experience as well. So if I have a chance, I'll come on here and update you during the session, but I'm planning to really pay attention and not be distracted with video stuff so much today. At the very least, I'll come back and give you a recap when we're done. This is much more formal, I think, than any ops that I've done before. Yeah, I'm not saying whether that's good or bad, but I am going to say that we've already done some paperwork and the train hasn't even moved yet. And what that was we got all of our waybills, which is the cards of that represent the cars that are in the train that we're going to operate. And we made a switch list, or I should say the person that I'm working with on this job made a switch list to help us determine what we need to do with the cars that are in the train, because we found out in our briefing that the train we're running has both facing point and trailing point setouts, and the facing point setouts should be done on the way back, because when we're going back, they will now become trailing point setouts. And trailing point setouts are much easier to work with because you're just dropping stuff off the back of your train. You don't have to worry about getting the locomotive around to the other side. And that's important on this layout because in order to get the locomotive on the other side, you'd have to run around the train on the main line. And you want to keep the main line as clear as possible because it's a single track main. So already there's a lot of sort of technical stuff going on. And it's weird. It's paperwork that should be boring, but it's fun.
We are operating. I'm operating at a layout I've never operated at before. That's big and has lots of people, and it's TT and TO, and so much new stuff for me. So it's fun. Get to learn a lot of stuff, and I'm here with the famous Bob Hammer. I've just been hearing about you everywhere around the Bay Area because you came out to visit. So he has a layout in Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, you're the visitor. Okay.
He's the visitor.
I knew the name sounded familiar, but I couldn't remember. Okay. Nice. And you have a layout out there?
Yep. Model of Great Northern and the DM&IR.
Very cool. So this is the poor soul that was assigned to work with me today. This is John Cockle, but John's actually been around real railroads for a long time. Why don't you tell the amazing viewers?
No pressure there, I guess, right?
So I expect you to know everything.
I know enough to get us into trouble. How's that? And also how to hide it, right? And how to cover up our mistakes there. So,
that's we'll important, see. Actually.
Well, the first thing, we went and talked to the dispatcher and offered him a donut, right? So you got to get in good with the dispatcher. That's always good.
Already greasing the wheels.
Yeah. And we've already been in trouble with the superintendent, right? He's told us to kind of get going, you know, get with the program here. So...
I wouldn't call it a yelling at, but it was definitely a talking to.
It was, so that's fine. That's good. It's all about, here we go. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, so if anything gets messed up today, it's your fault.
Sure, it's always, unless you don't follow the conductor's direction. Right?
Oh, no, I'm good at following directions, so okay. I'll be good.
There you go. All right, we'll make a good team then. That's good.
So it's finally 8:40 on the fast clock. We were supposed to depart at 8:30. And no, I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining what's going on. The train that we're running, which you see here today, the job that we're running, I should say, is a really low priority. It's like an extra, fourth class or something. It's like the lowest on the totem pole. So we don't have to be on any kind of a strict timeline here. So we'll be leaving late. We'll probably get in the way of a bunch of people. That's what's going to make it fun. Hopefully we get yelled at too.
So the way we're working this job, John's the conductor, so he's having to do all the figuring out of where stuff goes and where stuff doesn't go. And I'm just the engineer, so he's just telling me when to go and where to go and how far to go. That's easier. That's better for me, because if I have to figure out what I'm doing, switching cars out, it'll take much longer.
We listen most of the time, but not always. But most of the time, right?
So. Yeah, so far I've been okay. Just okay, though.
Okay, take it ahead.
One of the cool things about this layout and this op session is that there's plenty of opportunities for rail fanning too, because there's a lot of traffic. There's like somewhere between 15 and 20 people here today. And this is just one of the trains that another crew is running.
So this is a bit later, and we're still working this job here. It's funny,
we're getting there, though.
Yeah, we've barely gone anywhere compared to where we departed from, but we've actually done a lot of switching already.
We've covered a lot of ground, but we haven't done a lot, right?
Yeah, well,
we haven't gotten a lot accomplished.
That's a banana train. End of the day, and we're running the banana train now, all the way to Canada. Fresh produce from Florida down to Canada. Down? Up to Canada.
So we've finally completed all the work on our way out to where we were going, and the second part of a turn is going back to where you came from, and we've left a bunch of our pickups for our return trip. So, hey, John, I think it's time that we're supposed to be stopping here now, or soon, anyway.
Yeah, we're going on the wall here in 15 minutes, right? So
yeah.
I think we're almost done.
So what did you do to wrap things up here?
So we have a packet of all our spots here in Norwich.
Uh-huh.
And one car we didn't pull because we didn't pull it, right? So
that was someone
else. Not that we forgot, but we just didn't pull it, right? So
yeah, it was someone else.
The shipper wasn't ready. The bridge plate was still down to the boxcar. So
yeah, it was their fault.
And then we have a list of our train that's tied down in the Norwich siding with all the bills. These all go back to East New London, so the train is made up. And we're going to put that into the packet so the next person that comes along, they know what work has to be done. This is our train that's made up in Norwich, but we got some work to do on the way back to Montrose.
We're gonna right. Put that in there. So this was our host today. This is Paul.
Yes.
What would you tell people, Paul, about your layout?
It's awful.
If you had 30 seconds.
It's awful. Don't come.
It's don't awful. Come. Don't come. I can vouch for that.
Okay.
We had a horrible time.
Don't come. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for your interest.
We're really...
it's for sale for $2.
Yep. We're really sad that you invited us. Yeah. We had a terrible time.
At the end of an operating session, I'm not sure if you asked the host how it went or how he feels or anything, but it's just like good to be over with.
It's a lot of work.
Good to be over. It's a lot of work.
Yep.
I hope our customers had a good time. And,
I know two of them did.
Which two?
Actually, I know three of them did.
Yeah. I'll write them a personal note. Give me their names.
I'll send it to you later.
I'm leaving. I'm going to have a... Someone said no time. So that,
all right.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
That's a paid promotional announcement.
For all right. Yes. Thank you.
Good to see you, Dan.
We had a really good time. This was a much more formal setting. I think I mentioned it during the op session. It was a bit more formal, more paperwork and more procedures and stuff like that. But still a great time, a lot of fun. And thank you very much, Paul, for inviting us out. I hope to do it again sometime soon. And I also want to thank John Cockle, for it's the guy who I was teamed up with. He was a dispatcher for Southern Pacific and for Santa Fe, and has been in the railroad industry and real railroads, you know, big prototype railroads. So he kind of knew what he was doing, and he made the job that we were trying to do a lot easier, because he was very organized with his paperwork, as I was pointing out at the end. So anyway, great time. I'm glad we had a chance to do it. I've been wanting to operate at the central Vermont for a long time, and we finally got to, so it's really wonderful. So, that's it for now.
Now, before we get to the catch of the month, I want to take a second to let you know that the South Bay Historical Railroad Society is having their fall open house event on the first weekend in November. I mention it because it's one of the best railroad-related events of the year, and it's very family-friendly. Not only do they have everything open during these events, and I do mean everything, even the interlocking tower, but they also have what we call the company store, with all kinds of deals and steals on everything from models to books to signs to memorabilia and more to help raise funds to keep the lights on at the museum. Oh, did I mention it's a museum too? So that means you can see a lot of artifacts like lanterns, switch stands, station signs, number boards. The list goes on and on. It's happening at the Santa Clara Depot on November 4th and 5th. You can go to sbhrs.org to find out more details. And now for the catches of the month. Our first catches come from TSG train crew member Robert Darby, who was rail fanning in the Klamath Falls, Oregon area recently. This is the Klamath Falls Amtrak station. Here's a freight train he shot in the same area. And finally, here's the Coast Starlight making a station stop. Thanks for sending those in, Robert. Our next catch is from TSG train crew member Cameron LaFleur, who managed to catch the 1943 pulling a train full of rocket parts out of Utah on September 19th. What a great catch. Thanks, Cameron. You've been seeing my best catch of the month all podcast long in the form of my backdrop photo. It's a local freight departing Watsonville Junction on the afternoon of September 23rd. If you have a train or monthly model catch you'd like to share, please email it to podcast@tsgmultimedia.com. Be sure you own the shots and let me know the what's, when's, and where's of the shots you send in. There's a Fans of Talking Trains page on Facebook where people can share their projects and other activities. You can find it using the link in the description of this video or simply by searching for it on Facebook. I hope you'll join our community and share your stories with us. A big shout out to the TSG train crew again this month. The support we get from the TSG train crew makes a big difference in our ability to create the content that you enjoy here. I'd like to ask you to add your support by joining the TSG train crew today. It can be as cheap as $2 a month, and you'll get early access to all the major features that come out on the channel, like layout tours and chasing trains. These sneak peeks are presented ad-free in ultra-high definition 4K. All right, that's it for this time. Thanks for watching, and I will see you next time.